This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk, January 27th. We're here to talk about your money, but we need your input. I need your input, especially just to help serve you if I can, or at least stay on track of what your interests and needs are. Your questions, comments are always welcome, whether your interest is new or you're an experienced investor. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us during this hour. You can do it anytime at the same number, by the way. Just leave a question on the recording and we'll play it on the next show. U.S. stocks recorded their biggest decline in 3 weeks today, following a surprise drop in the durable goods orders. That was kind of the catalyst for the big move. But, you know, did we just not read 3 days ago that it was the biggest one-day up move in I don't know how many weeks or months? And what you're experiencing here is volatility, a return of volatility, a return to normal volatility, by the way, not abnormal volatility. We had abnormal low volatility for so long. So it doesn't mean the market's going to go down, doesn't mean it's going to go up. It just means it's going to go up and down, and we is still searching for a trend for the year, at least. I mean, we're only 3 weeks into the year. So, you know, earnings from Microsoft were not too good. Caterpillar, not too good. But did you see the earnings from Apple after hours today? Huge up. Much bigger than expected. Much bigger. We'll talk about a little bit more later on in the show. So you may, can you attribute the declines of Microsoft and Caterpillar to the market? I think it can contribute the volatility to those kinds of things. Maybe, you know, we chose oil as our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up a week from Saturday on the 7th in San Jose. We chose oil because of the huge volatility we're seeing and the opportunity that very low oil prices will give you. But very low oil prices also cause a lot of damage. It's not all good. So how you as the average investor should position yourself? It, not just oil prices, but in other commodity prices, other stock prices. What's going to be the impact? And there is going to be significant reverberations beyond oil and energy. So how do you do that? So it wasn't by chance we chose oil. We did it on purpose because we knew that, you know, it's going to be impactful across various economies, our own included. The low oil prices. We're going to talk about OPEC versus U.S. producers, world producers, politics of oil economics, what countries are going to benefit, which ones will suffer. To find yourself a positive side of this price adjustment, that's what we're going to do. You have to be schooled in the negative impacts. So if we're going to look at the positive, what are some of the negative impacts and how stay away from some sectors that will be negatively impacted? So which sectors, industries will fall? Which ones will grow up? Caterpillar. How are they related to oil? How did Caterpillar's earnings be affected by oil? Did it? Talk about Shell, oil sands, deep water operations. I mean, there's so many aspects. So for those who are hands-on investors or you're looking to analyze the fundamentals and technicals of that oil industry, we're going to talk about that. Opportunities, all kinds of stuff. I think you'll find it very worthwhile. Again, that's Saturday morning, February 7th in San Jose Hyatt House. You can buy your admission online, investtalk.com. It's a three-hour investment. It's a three-hour investment that will pay off for you, three-hour investment of your time that will pay off. If you'd like to join us, please go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the conference heading. The upside of lower oil prices. It's going to be 9 to noon, 3 hours on Saturday morning. Okay, it's time to get to work answering your questions. So let's get to the phone. Here's a call from our 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is our number. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
Hi, my name is Andrew. I'm from Orange County. I usually listen via the internet. I really enjoy the show. I'm just wondering about reverse stock split and usually what that has, what kind of effect that has on the stock price over the short term. Appreciate it if you answer my question. I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, reverse stock split is usually negative. Now, it doesn't impact the earnings or the lack of earnings or anything, just like a stock split. Doesn't impact the earnings or anything to do with that. It just splits the stock. What does that mean? Well, the reason why a regular stock split is positive is because normally it's after the stock has risen. It's gone up so well, they have a reverse stock split. I mean, they have a stock split like Apple did not too long ago. But a normal stock split would be a 2-to-1. That means for every one share you own, now you will own two. So it's a normal stock split is as it goes up, they lower the price. If it's a 2-to-1, the price will be cut in half and you have twice as many shares. But the value is still the same. In a reverse stock split, usually it's because the stock has been falling and got so low, they're trying to bring the price up. Because both in the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ, there's minimum prices per stock that the company has to maintain. For the New York, it's $5 a share, I believe. And for the NASDAQ, it's $2 a share. So they can't get too low in price. So if the stock keeps falling, does a reverse stock split, meaning for every 100 shares you have, maybe they're going to do a one for two, meaning now you only have 50 shares and they double the price. But a reverse stock split usually is seen as negative, where a normal stock split is seen as positive. But they really don't have anything to do with earnings or how the stock being healthier. No, nothing. Okay, good question, though. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART. You can expect a portfolio that doesn't perform in good times to excel in bad times. So how to spot a weak portfolio? That's one of our talking points today. There's a couple things we didn't get to yesterday that I hope to do today. Morningstar's 5-point retirement checkup. But I also want to talk about Apple earnings after hours tonight. I also want to talk about the Dow being down 2% for year to date and what that might mean for the month of January. Remember what happened last January? And also, China nudges yuan to a 7th-month low. Now, China has tied their yuan, their currency, to our currency, but there is a trading band that they like to keep it in. They target this trading band, and what they do is they try to manipulate their currency to stay within this trading band, and they're at the very low end of that trading band. What does that mean? What is China doing? Does it help us? Those are things we're going to talk about today. Now, the market had a pretty big down day. The Dow was down 290 points, the S&P down 27, and the NASDAQ down 90. So is the market down for the year to date? Well, that's going to be something we're going to talk into. Does that mean anything? Do you remember what happened last year in January? We're going to talk about that because there's some statistics that are quite interesting that I'm going to share with you. As January goes, what does that portend for the rest of the year? By the way, it didn't work last year. Interesting stuff. So what's on your mind? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, I invite you to take a look at our balanced income portfolio. Using our time-tested ability to identify undervalued assets, we create a strategy designed to accommodate investors who have a lower risk tolerance. They don't want to take a lot of risk. The balanced income portfolio. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, portfolio analysis. How to analyze a portfolio. You know, many money managers, such as myself, get compared with the indexes, and there's a lot of us who do not beat the indexes. The problem we have is many of our portfolios are not designed to beat the indexes. Maybe the person doesn't want, because the index is fully invested in stocks 100% of the time. 100% invested 100% of the time. And it will go up. When the index goes up, oh, you'll be great. That's great. When it goes down, well, you're going to suffer. But many people don't want the downside risks. So you need to understand what kind of portfolio you have. Today, I looked at a fairly large portfolio belonging to a lady. And she said she was very conservative. She wanted to be very conservative. So I took a look at her portfolio. I put all the holdings into our Riskalyze software and determined what kind of risk she was taking. And she was taking very low risk in her portfolio. So it matched what she wanted. She's going to severely underperform the indexes when it goes up. She'll fall way behind the indexes. But when the indexes go down, she won't go down hardly at all. And that's what she wanted because that was the risk she wanted to take. She wanted to protect this money. Now, so the current portfolio she has will do that. And that's what you talk about. That's what we're talking about when you're looking for analyzing your portfolio. Do you understand what's in it and what it will do in a down market? What will it do if we have another down market like we had 2008? Will it go down more, less, the same? And what do you want it to do if that happens? Okay, what happens if the market rebounds like it did in 2009? Will your portfolio rebound, and was that what you want? Because if you want to rebound as much as it goes up, then you have to take the risk of the going down part. So that's the key of any money manager. That's what we do. That's the value we provide, is manage the risk, or at least have you understand the risk. You can invest in index funds and do very well. Just leave them alone. And you'll do fine. But most people can't invest in indexes and leave them alone. Many people don't have that much time, because to be successful in indexing, sometimes you have to leave it alone for years and years. Years, decade. Because you don't know what year, 2 year, 3 year period the indexes will go down. You want an example, 2000 to 2003. 2007 and 2008, you can have a couple, 3 years where the indexes don't do anything, they go down. So are you comfortable with that? See, and that's all about risk. It's all about how much risk you like taking, you're comfortable taking, sleep at night quotient, or can you sleep at night with the risk you're taking? Are you comfortable? And if you say, no, I'm not, then you don't be in an index fund in the S&P 500. Or you don't have your whole portfolio there. You have some asset classes other than the stock market. That's just, you just got to think about those things. And too many people, look at it and not think about them. And then they panic out when the market goes down. And then after the market's gone back up, they panic back in. And they can't understand over the long term why they do so poorly. And, it's proven over and over and over, this is what happens to a lot of people. So how do you avoid that? Well, hiring a money manager will help. Or if you can control your emotions, that would work perfectly. Try our free risk analysis tool. Go to investtalk.com. That'll tell you what kind of risk you like taking. It's very simple. A few minutes, that's it. A couple, three, four questions, and you're done. And then it rates you from 0 to 99. So, we want to hear your questions, 888-99-CHARGE, how to reach us right now. This is Invest Talk.
Our Invest Talk podcast distribution is made possible every day by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Here's another benefit when you sign up for our Invest Talk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're here live 4-5 Pacific time every day, Monday through Friday. And if you're listening at the time, you certainly can talk to us live. Or, of course, if you're listening to a podcast at some other time of the day, or listening to the web some other part of the day, you can still call and leave the question, and we'll answer it on the next show. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What do you think of Discover Financial Services? D as a David, F as a France, S as a Sam. Looks like the recent earnings pushed the stock down. So is it a good time to pick up some, or shall I still wait? Look forward for your opinion on the next show. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Discover, DFS, is this Discover Financial Services, issues credit cards in North America and provides payment or processing for credit card and debt card transaction. It's a $25 billion, so it's Discover Card, everybody. And they make they made last year $5.22 a share. In 2015, they're going to make $5.36 a share, and then 16, $5.74 a share. So it's going to go up. But sales fell last quarter by 3%. Every quarter before that was growing. So the stock had tumbled here in January from 66 down to 55. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's what, a 20% tumble? And now the stock looks pretty darn reasonable at $55 a share, making $5.74 next year. I think that's reasonable. So the answer is it fallen enough? Is it done falling? And I think it's awfully close, but you need to give it a little time. This is an area it should find the bottom. You want to give it a little time to make sure that the bottom is in. You don't want to catch a falling knife. You're going to get cut. Wait till it hits the bottom, stops rattling around, then you go pick it up. So what that means is you want to see this stock trade sideways for a little while before you buy it. Let's just make sure this is the bottom. But I do say this is a good place to buy. This is a good, reasonable price. I mean, this is a good price to buy this stock. I mean, 574, 10 times, 10 PE means it would be 57, 10, a 10 PE, and it's at 55. Now, what's the five-year range? 5 PE to 26 PE. So it's not super cheap within that range. It's just very reasonable. It's more reasonable than the S&P 500. You know, the whole index is trading much higher than that, than 11. 11 PE is more like, what, 18? So, good return on equity. All the numbers are good. Not much of dividend, but pays a dividend. I think this is the area you certainly look at it, but you just be a little bit patient, if you would. Be a little bit patient. Apple came out with its earnings after hours. Profit was up 38% to a record, beating any estimates that they had. And demand came from their big size phone. They're, you know, huge demand. Profit was $18 billion for the fourth quarter. That was up from $13 billion the year before quarter. Earnings per share up 48% or so. Sales up 30% to $74 billion. Remember, that's in a quarter. It's monster good news for Apple. They're up 5% after hours, I notice. But I didn't see any breakdown of the Apple Pay. Remember I talked about it yesterday? I was kind of interested in see what that was. This was mostly credited with the larger size iPhone. Everybody has to have one. Have you seen it? I have. I mean, it's nice and everything. I'm not sure why I need a bigger phone. See, I like the phone to be carried in my pocket, not be too heavy. Well, the bigger it is, the bigger the battery. And I understand longer battery life, it's faster processing, all those things that everybody likes. But I don't, you know, for those people who like to play games, I guess a bigger screen is nicer. Well, it doesn't matter. Consumers want it, and there's huge demand for it. Okay, that's why they had a big quarter. Okay, good news for us Apple owners who own the stock. Let's go to Art Menlo Park. How you doing, Art? Art, how's it going?
How you doing, Steve?
Good, thanks for the call.
Doing good. Sun just came out.
Yeah, anyway. That's good.
Yeah. I was just wondering about McDonald's. It seems like it's come down to like support at close to 90.
You're right.
But I'm just wondering, you think now's a good time to enter or just wait? Because I think the next support is about, 79, I think?
Yeah, it's too far away. I think you're right. The support here is between 88 and 90. It's a lot of support right here. And it's right at 89.57 today. Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like it's been hovering between like 90 and 100 and low hundreds for quite a while.
Yep. So this is, if you're going to buy McDonald's And, you know, they're making some changes because their sales have fallen the last couple of quarters. So they're going to make some changes. And if you believe in McDonald's, this is a good place to buy it. And while you're waiting, it pays 3.8% dividend. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
I like it at this point. You know, you might want to wait to see if it finds support before, and starts to move up again, then buy it. Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay.
So have you seen the mobile app that keeps you connected to InvestTalk no matter where you are? You can download it right here on InvestTalk.com. Is it time to start thinking about simplifying your retirement portfolio for your spouse who may not be as investment savvy as you are? That's coming up on InvestTalk 101. If you want to be on the program, 888-99-CHART, agree to us right now on InvestTalk. It's time for InvestTalk 101, a brush up on the basics and how to manage your retirement portfolio. Some time ago, Morningstar published a story called Simplifying a Portfolio for Non-Investing Savvy Spouse. So whether you're a husband or wife, and whether the wife or the husband manages the money, it doesn't matter. Many times one of the spouses doesn't have anything to do with it or doesn't know or very little. And I thought it was worth talking about. Now, a big part of estate planning is thinking about your investment portfolio and how that portfolio may need to transition to your spouse if something happens to you, the manager of the money, okay? The management capabilities of your spouse could have some implications, some big implications. I've had this issue often over the years where the person who's managing the investments and knows where they are and what they're doing passes away, and the spouse has no clue what to do. And I have seen that spouse make huge money mistakes. So what kind of things might you want to consider? You might want to leave some instructions behind for your spouse. The Morningstar article recommended that any narrowly focused type of funds should be sold. In other words, you know, you as the astute money manager might say, well, I'm going to buy this gold sector. But when if you pass away and the spouse inherits that, they're just going to hold on to it. But whereas you may have only wanted it for a short period of time. You know, as a movement based on what you think the dollar's going to do or the economy going to do. So you got to think of your portfolio after you go. What should be done? What should it transition to? And then leave those instructions behind. Okay, so, you know, maybe you're in a region-specific target-dated fund or, I don't know, any kind of thing that might be very specific for making the decision. This is what you want to do for this your period of time and then out. Well, your spouse may not know that. Take a look. And that's InvestTalk 101. Do you have a topic you'd like covered? Just let us know. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, guys. This is John in New York. Just wanted to know your opinion on Ventas, Inc. It's VTR. It's a REIT and was just curious what a good buying point would be. This looks a little better than other healthcare REITs because they do look to have about 80% of their funding coming from private holdings rather than relying on Medicaid, Medicare for all their income. I will hang up and be listening. Thanks so much, guys, for all you do. Bye.
Ventas, it was hovering around $65 for most of the year. Then in September, it popped down close to 60. And ever since then, it moved up from 60 in middle of September. Now it's $80.76. It's gone up sharply for the month of January. Market hasn't gone up sharply, but this stock has. Ventas, VTR. It's a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and leases senior housing and healthcare-related properties in 46 states. As a REIT, it only pays about a 1% dividend yield, which surprises me. But, of course, it's an $80 stock with a P/E ratio of around 18 or so, so it's kind of expensive. Return on equity is only about 5%, which is kind of low, but it's in a really solid area, and that's why it's popular. Everybody likes it. They've made money every year, year after year, grown their earnings year after year after year, grown their sales about 10, 12%, quarter after quarter, very consistent. And the stock market, investors reward consistency. They like that. And, of course, the stock is kind of high. I wouldn't chase it at this point because it's gone from $75 to $80 in this month. What is that, 7, 8%? And you know, it's attracting a lot of attention because it's been doing so well. That means it's getting ahead of itself. That means the stock has run up, and you don't necessarily, you kind of want to wait for a pullback. Then again, what if the pullback, what if it keeps running up to $100 a share and pulls back to $80? Well, that is true. That happens, by the way. But I still don't feel comfortable chasing performance. I don't feel comfortable chasing, even though I think the stock is really solid. It's kind of one you want to own, but I wouldn't chase this. VTR, Ventas, Inc. We're just a couple of weeks away from our February 7th Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, the upside of lower oil prices, and we've had quite a lot of interest in this. The sign-ups are pretty hot and heavy, and the room is only a certain size. So please sign up so we know who's coming, and we'll save the space for you. It's at the Hyatt House in San Jose, 9 to noon on Saturday morning, February 7th. Sign up is easy. Just go to investtalk.com.
It could be the most enlightening 5 minutes you'll spend this year. Use our free risk analysis tool. It will help you gauge your risk tolerance, and it could be the first step in aligning your portfolio with your real needs. It's free, and it's right there on investtalk.com.
Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. First, I want to thank you so much for your podcast. I'm a podcast listener, and I have two questions about two stocks, Nokia, symbol N-O-K, and iRobot, which is the I-R-B-T. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, just so you know, everybody, I love the podcast listeners. Just so you know, I really can only do one stock at a time. So I'll do Nokia for you. But if you call another time, I'll do the other stock. I'll get a call tomorrow, and I'll do the other stock. But you know, I can't give multiple stocks. It's just difficult. And I really love all the podcasters all over the country, you know, and even the world. But, you know, for the country, I'm a registered investment advisor in almost every state in the union. So if you do need help managing money, you can certainly call me and I'll help you. Nokia Corporation. Of course, it's from Finland. It's, you know, they've had a pretty rough time recently. I mean, in recent years. Because they used to be dominant, you know, they really dominant in the cell phone. They're a developer of telecom infrastructure, mobile broadband technology, and digital map networks. And they were huge in making telephones. And that kind of, you know, they made lower-end telephones. Lower-end, and they've had some trouble. For instance, in like 2009, coming out of the recession, they made 94 cents a share. In 2008, they made $2.02 a share. What are they going to make this year? 39 cents a share. So you can, what? And sales have been falling quarter after quarter after quarter. This most recent quarter, sales were up 6%. But before that, it's just down, down, down. So the stock is having a heck of a time. It's at $8.01. It was actually up a penny today. Surprisingly, in a bad market that we've had. But you would say, okay, well, is that a good price, $8? Well, it's only going to make 39 cents. Well, 39 cents, what kind of PE is that at $8 a share making 39 cents? Well, that's like a 20 PE. Is a 20 PE cheap? No. See, because the earnings have been going down, you got to say, well, wait a minute, maybe it deserves an $8 stock. And it actually probably deserves a lower price than that. I think everybody, like a lot of people, think it's going to turn itself around. It's still a $30 billion company, but it used to be a lot bigger. Not bigger than that. Okay, so I wouldn't buy Nokia. I wouldn't buy that with the monopoly money. No. Why would I want to buy a stock that's been going down for years and years and years, making less and less money? Are you expecting it to turn around? Why not buy a stock that's already turned around, that's making more and more and more money, not less and less and less? I just don't see the reason to buy this Nokia. There's no compelling reason to own it. So I wouldn't buy it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The Dow is down 2% year to date. January has predicted outcomes for the year 87 times out of the last 87 years out of the last 117 years. So if January was down or January is up, it is a predictor for the most of the year, most of the time. It wasn't true last year. Last year, January was down 6%. By the year end, the indexes were up, except maybe the Russell 2000, which was flat. But the S&P and the Dow were up. So it's not always true. Out of the last 11 years, 8 of those years has been true. So whatever January does, the rest of the year. Now, what January is, it's down two, the Dow is down 2%. S&P is probably similar. I'm not sure exactly. And we got, what, 3 more trading days into the year? So what if it comes in flat? What predictable, how is that going to predict the rest of the year? Does it? Don't ever fall in love too much with any one little statistic like that. That doesn't, you need a consistency of statistics, okay? A bunch of them to confirm anything like that. 87 out of the last 117 years is a good number, a good predictor, but you know, don't rely on that. Just don't rely on it. That's what I'm suggesting. I have an email that came in about a stock, and this was from Frank, and he emailed me several days ago, and I just didn't get around to it. So I'm going to get around to it today, and he's asking about Illinois Tool Works, ITW, manufactures plastic metal fasteners and fastening tools for construction, automotive, and appliance markets. It does other things as well. Okay, there's a food division on this stock. But looking at the stock, is it worth it? ITW. It's a $93 stock. It's been holding up pretty well in the last couple of months with some weakness in the market. But is it a good buy? Well, it's kind of expensive. The P/E ratio is 20. It's going to make 587 next year after making 525 this year. And sales growth is anemic. Ranging from minus 4% to a plus 4% for the last 2 years, quarter after quarter. So it's just, there's nothing there that says it should rise. But I'll tell you this, insiders bought it at the low of about $80 in October. Insiders bought the stock. So long term, it pays a 2.1% dividend. Long term, this stock has been around forever. It'll be around forever. But it's pretty cyclical. If the economy does well, this does well. If the economy slows down, this slows down. Okay, it's cyclical. 2008 made $3.24. 2009, $1.86 because of the recession. Then it rebounded to $2.89. And then in 2010 to $3.74, 2011. And it's gone up almost every year, except for one, since then, since 2009. Up every year, earnings up every year because the economy is expanding every year. Not doing great, but it's expanding and helps the stock. So ITW is the symbol. We want to make the most of the money you've already earned and get it working harder for you, not just sitting there. Sitting in money markets, you're going to get squished. You need to do something. The goal, of course, is to be financially independent. Everybody wants that when you retire. When you want to retire, whenever that is. So let's work on that together. Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is your one-hour appointment with the money managers to help you do your retirement right. If you have questions about your 401k, your IRA, or are mutual funds best for you, or should you be thinking about investing in individual stocks, what's the difference between a broker and a portfolio manager? This is your hour. Call in with your question, 888-99-CHART, and get in on InvestTalk.
Hello, my name is Deborah. My question is, would like to invest $250,000 to generate some income. I have not really not that much savvy about the stock market or any of that sort of financial education. So I really need to know how to invest this so that I keep the principal and it's my nest egg, so that's all I have to live on. So I'm a 57-year-old woman, and that's all I have for the rest of my life. I am unemployed, so could you please help me with that question? Thank you so much.
Well, you certainly don't want to take a lot of risk because it's your nest egg. So, but you also need to make some money. I mean, it's a conundrum here. $250,000, you would probably be very suited for something like my balanced income portfolio. You can do it yourself, but you have to have some knowledge, and you may not be able to do it. So call me, and I'll help you with it, and you can come into our balanced income portfolio. And what that does, just so you have for everybody else and for her, half of that $250,000, we set it aside, we buy bonds. We'll buy the bonds. We'll probably buy 10 to 15 high-quality bonds that generate yield, income, okay? And what happens is if the stock market falls, that part will not fall with the stock market. It has nothing to do with the stock market. The other half will buy high-dividend blue-chip stocks that pay dividends. Now, that part can go up and down in value, but if you're patient, it will always come back. These are high-quality blue-chip stocks. You don't have to worry about them going under, and they pay dividends. So a half, we want to try to get it to grow, that half. And the other half, we just want income from. But we want income from both halves, but part of it, we want it to grow. And that's the kind of thing you can do on your own with knowledge. And, you know, so because if you put in CDs or money market, you're not going to make anything. You need that little 50 in your, you know, 50s, late 50s. You still need some possibility of growth. And think about it this way. That would yield about, I'm going to say, 4 to 6% yield. Okay, $250,000, if you get 5% of that, is about, a little over $1,000 a month. Okay, income. Okay, just so you know. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Give us a call if you like, 888-99-CHART. If you'd like to know more about the 401k solution, just call, leave us a message. We'll be happy to send up. Brenda in San Jose is next.
We're glad you downloaded our podcast today. And a reminder that part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. That's with two T's, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. His latest is called QE for the EU. And the ECB, European Central Bank, announced a $60 billion euro a month bond buying program. And Steve's got a take on the topic. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Brenda in San Jose. Thank you for holding on, Brenda.
Oh, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just wondering, for the stock, Alibaba, things is doing so well on the stock market. I'm wondering whether I should sell Amazon because, you know, they are direct competing each other, right? That's my first question.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And second question is that for Tesla, because the oil has dropped so much, whether Tesla is a good investment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you talking about getting out of Amazon and buying Alibaba instead of Amazon? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I have Amazon. I'm just thinking whether I should sell Amazon and buy Alibaba.
Okay.
And also I have Tesla. Just wondering because the oil has dropped so much in price and whether the electrical vehicle is a good investment for the long term.
Well, we'll talk about Tesla briefly. Think about Tesla, why they've fallen. It's not because Tesla's doing poorly. That's not what's happening. What happened is oil prices have gone down, gasoline prices have gone down, and of course, Tesla's an electric car builder, and if gasoline's really cheap, it's less desirable to buy an electric car. See, so the perception is...
Right, yeah.
So, but as far as the Tesla as a company, I think it's going to be a very successful auto company. Oil is not going to stay down forever. And I think that Tesla is going to be around for a long time. It is expensive. but they're growing real fast too. So I kind of, you know, from a long view, I think Tesla's going to do well. The same thing is true with Alibaba. From a long perspective, mm-hmm. it's going to do very, very well. It's also expensive, but it's growing very fast. You have to pay up for fast-growing stocks. And to be honest, I am not keen on Amazon. I am not keen on Amazon. And the reason being is even though Amazon has been growing its sales, profits are kind of not there. 63 cents a share next year after losing 77 cents a share this year. What, you know, and it's a $300 stock. Why would I buy? Mm-hmm. To me, Amazon is just way overpriced, and the growth is not nearly as strong as Alibaba and Tesla. So why would I? Why would I want Amazon? I would exit Amazon. Doesn't mean it won't go back up. I'm just saying it doesn't have the prospects as Alibaba and Tesla. Okay?
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Thanks, Brenda.
Steve.
Appreciate the call. Alibaba, B-A-B-A is a symbol. Tesla is T-S-L-A. And Amazon is A-M-Z-N. Those are the symbols that we just talked about. Okay, let's talk about China. Have you noticed that the Chinese yuan is at a seven-month low? And China is pushing down the price on purpose. They want it. Now, don't think China is the only one out there. What do you think Europe is doing with their euro? What do you think every country in the world is trying to push down their currency so the exports will go up? And you know that won't work. It won't work because when everybody's trying to do it, it's not going to work. The only one that's not trying to do it at this stage is the U.S. And you notice how strong our dollar has gotten, and that's going to hurt our exports. It's going to help their imports to us, okay? And China has reduced its rate again. They're worried about deflation because inflation has been falling, weakest it's been in 5 years. China is having problems, which was, you know, predictable, okay? They're having issues. They're still growing. I'm not saying, but their growth rate has been the worst in 25 years. Their growth rate has fallen down. And, you know, it's to be expected. To be expected. My biggest concern is everybody is rushing to the bottom trying to get their currency to be weak. How's that going to work? It's not. It's short-term thinking. It's not going to work because long-term, if everybody's doing it, trying to reduce their currency to get it lower and lower and lower compared to other people's currency, other countries' currency, and everybody's doing it, it's not gonna work. It can't work. But that's what's going on. Before we close the hour, remember you can sign up now for our Saturday morning wealth conference on February 7th, the upside of lower oil prices. It's February 7th in San Jose at the Hyatt House, 9 to noon. Just go to investtalk.com to sign up. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.